Yesterday we heard from John 1 about Jesus bringing grace and truth. Today we'll hear the impact of that grace and truth of Christ on the disciple Nathanael, reading from John 1, beginning at verse 43. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." Salespeople will tell you from experience that it is much easier to make the sale when the product sells itself. We even have an expression built on that idea. And you may have experienced this sort of thing as a customer before. The buyer is sold on the product when he knows for sure that it works, it's not going to break, it performs all the things he wants it to do. Especially when hearing from other satisfied customers, the buyer knows it's worth the money spent. In some ways, we could say that Christians are like satisfied customers. Don't take that too far. We don't pay a thing to buy salvation or shop for it, but we do have it. We certainly benefit from it. We know the great value of what Jesus did. Like those two men in John 1, we too are sold on the power and the benefits of Jesus Christ. In John 1, we see one Christian, Philip, already there, sold on Jesus as the Messiah, already convinced. But there's another believer, Nathanael, who needed more convincing. Sometimes we act like Nathanael more than Philip. We do that by having our doubts, don't we? Maybe we doubt a certain teaching in the Bible and try to pick it apart. Or with nagging guilt, we doubt that God has forgiven a certain sin that we've done. Or we start to question God's love, God's care when bad things start to happen. Whatever the doubts may be, please understand that they fit the category of sin in our hearts. We're breaking the first commandment by doubting God, by not trusting Him above all things, especially what He tells us, His truth in His Word. Now here's the good news. God is not looking to catch you in your doubt and reject you in judgment. Quite the opposite. He comes to win you over, win you back. He comes with a cure. Don't expect, though, something like a logical argument to connect all the dots or fill in all the blanks. He's going to use His Word, yes, and make it work through the power of the Spirit in your hearts and the display of the truth of Christ. We have such a display in John 1. The Lord's demonstration of supernatural knowledge. Before He and Nathanael had ever met in person, the Lord knew the man's heart and called Nathanael an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And also, when Nathanael was far away, out of sight, Jesus saw him under a fig tree. It was a miracle. And such miraculous things, as recorded in the Bible, are a ringing endorsement for us too about who Jesus is and what kind of power he has. But maybe it seems like a distant thing, something that didn't touch your life directly. After all, these true miracles happened a long time ago in a faraway place, and we didn't get to experience any of them. We don't have the same vantage point as Nathaniel or Philip. If that's where your brain wants to go, then ask yourself, what has Jesus done for you directly? I'll attempt an answer by going to the extreme negative. Imagine your situation without Christ at the end, having to face God and his judgment by yourself. How horrible would that be? How hopeless would you be? When Christ came to this earth, the most important thing that he did for you and all other people. It started with taking your place under God's law and keeping all of the commandments for you without any miraculous power involved. And then in a very real and voluntary, painful and difficult sacrifice on the cross, he gave up his innocent life to completely pay the full debt, the full guilt of all your sin. That, remember, included Jesus having to suffer the torments of hell. The story is not over, though. Right on schedule, he rose victorious from the grave. Here's his resume for you. As the crucified and risen Savior, only Jesus can do for you what no doctor or lawyer, government authority, or psychiatrist could do. Only Jesus can be your permanent sin eraser, your absolute death destroyer, the one who opens up heaven and seals your adoption as children of God. Such good news is meant to make an impression, the impression of grace and truth that takes away all the doubts. Think of Jesus as the product that truly sells itself, because he makes us satisfied with the results and sure about him. We too get to be like Philip and Nathaniel, his people sold on the power and benefits of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll close this morning with all the stanzas of hymn 759. 759.